Couldn't dare imagine. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you don't stop. You don't stop coming after us, God, and you love us this morning, God. We just pray that every heart that's joined with us this morning, God, would open up to you. Lord, if this would be the first morning that we just surrender to you and say, God, you can have my life. You can have it all, God. I just know after all these years of walking with you, Jesus, you can be trusted with our hearts, God. You can be trusted with our future, God. So I just pray there be those that meet you the first time this morning, and they will see how much you love them. And God, I pray that in this season, Jesus, that we would take the moments to just be with you, God. That is your heart to commune with us, God. And if there's ever been a moment in time that we could get some time alone, it'd be in this season, God. I pray that we would just capture those moments with you, God, and you would change every family and every life, the young and the old, in this season, God, I pray. Join me as we pray this morning. We're going to pray also that as things starting to open up, that God would give wisdom to our leaders, especially in the state of Connecticut. Let's pray. Join me as I pray. God, Lord, I just thank you, first of all, for keeping us safe here. God, I thank you for the lives you've protected, God, and we can trust you for the families who've experienced loss, God, that you be closer than ever, I pray, God. But I thank you, Jesus, that you're with us in the midst of this crisis, God. And I pray right now that every leader that's in charge, God, that you would guide their minds and their hearts, God. Lord, I pray that you would give them wisdom on when to take steps forward and when to stop, maybe when to take a step back. God, I just pray right now that you would guide the process, that it wouldn't be a process guided by fear and lack of knowledge, but it'd be guided by your great hand. I pray, Jesus. Lord, release every resource that we need to make it through this time. Give us the safety equipment. Protect those that are on the front lines, I pray. But release wisdom. We're asking you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Join us as we listen to Jeff.
All right. Now, you saw the picture on Facebook, and the picture is still there, James. It's hanging right off the camera. Okay. Kind of dark, and you can't, but Caitlin's watching. She's live, and she's back there, too. Are you ready? All right, James.
Woo. Thank you. All right. What is good, everybody online? We are in week 3 of a series that we've been calling This is Love. And in case you're just tuning in, first, I want to welcome you. I'm really glad that you're here because this is going to be one of the most powerful themes of the gospel that you could ever hear. See, because throughout this series, God has strategically placed the foundation to the story of his love for all of humanity. And if you've been sleeping during live stream, trust me, I get it. I understand some of those quarantine vibes that some of us got going on. But we have been examining how the resurrection changed everybody, say everything.
Everything.
Woo! Now, on Easter, Pastor Brad focused on a love that conquers sin. And he showed us that through it all, time and time again, Jesus will come after us and redeem us from our mistakes and our failures. And last week, Adam preached a message called A Love That Conquers Death. And really presented the Bible thoroughly, showing us that God's plan has 3 phases: creation, fall, and redemption. And ultimately showing us that God's love conquered the grave, and through his victory, we have victory too. It was an artfully presented SparkNotes summary of the Bible. Now, if you did miss last week, or in case you just wanted the spark notes to the spark notes of the gospel, I'm going to give it to you. So focus right here for a second. See, because of the resurrection of Jesus, because of his word, we know what his death was all about. At the cross, Jesus died in our place for our sins. Jesus entered into our pain, entered into our shame, And Jesus came and took the weight of evil itself so that the power could be broken. And because Jesus didn't stay in the grave, I'm feeling this thing already, because he overcame death, because he resurrected, we know what Easter and the resurrection was all about. It was God freeing us from sin, God overcoming death, and God making everything new. Now, if you have your Bibles in front of you, or if you have an extra new tab on your computer, open up or turn to Revelation 21, 1 through 5. Now, Revelation 21, 1 through 5 in the Christian Standard Bible, starting in verse 1, states, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. See, I also saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice from the throne, 'Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them, and they will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away.' Then the one seated on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.' He also said, 'Write, because these words are faithful and true.'" See, this is love, a love that forgives us and frees us, a love that conquers the grave, and a love that makes everything new. But I want to take some time to kind of dissect the vision that John has, because it's kind of crazy, and I don't really want to glaze over the context of Revelation. See, throughout the Bible, there's a lot of talk about how God makes everything new. And John lays it out for us right here. See, in the vision of the second coming of Jesus that we find in Revelation, we find that he lays a pattern out for us, starting in verse 1, about a new creation. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." See, many believe that this verse isn't necessarily speaking to a new galaxy, but more so a restoration of God's creation. That God will restore the earth and these heavens to be renovated back to perfect creation before the fall, where every evil, disgraceful, and painful thing will be eliminated. You see, that is stated in Romans 8:21, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will also be set free from the bondage to decay into the glorious freedom of God's children." Now, this is not stating that we can abuse earth or our time in his creation, for we are called throughout Genesis to be good stewards of his creation and to work it, yes, but also to keep it, to tend to it, to care for it, and to look after it. But see, what this is stating is that through our fall, through our impotency, through our mistakes, through our miscommunications and our maltreatments of God's creation that we've already made, God, we can celebrate because God is going to take all of that, overcome all of that, and turn his creation anew. And just in case you missed it, my friends, that includes you. See, read verse 4 again, and we find he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more, because the previous things have passed away. No more death, no more pain. See, this insinuates that our bodies must be changed. See, that our bodies that must become new. See, this is how it's put in Philippians 3, 20 through 21. "But our citizenship is in heaven," hallelujah, "and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be made like his glorious one. So we will have a new body glorified like Christ's. A body free from pain, a body free from shame, free from illness, free from disability, and free from sin. This is a love that makes his entire creation new. A new earth, new heavens, and a new body of Christ for his church. But I want us to know that this is for a purpose. This is for a new relationship. See, John tells us in verse 3, "Then I heard a loud voice from the throne. Look, God's dwelling is with humanity, and he will live with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and will be their God." See, it's true that God is with us now. Like, his spirit dwells within us. If you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, he lives within you. And Jesus promises in Matthew to never leave us to the end of the age. So here and now, God is with us. But in 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 7, Paul states, while we are at home in the body, aka while we are here on earth in our temporary home, we're just on vacation, y'all. We are away from the Lord, and here we walk by faith and not by sight. So see, there is a deep and painful sense in which we are away from the Lord. We are away from God. We do not see as we will see one day. We do not see as we will when we're standing in front of him as he's on the throne before him in his gloriousness. Blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus said, for they shall see God. It's a promise. There will be something much more powerful where God will dwell not just within us, but with us. God loves us that much that we are to live with him in the new creation personally, with him in perfect harmony, worshiping and communing with him for all eternity. Amen. Come on. He makes all things new. Now, a lot of y'all, I can already hear it. You're like, James, that's great and all. But last I checked, I didn't see anywhere that Jesus was coming back on the calendar. And I don't know when that's happening. So what does that mean anything for us now? What about here and now? Well, the Bible talks a lot about God making things new here and now. Take Romans 8:28, for example, one of the most prolific verses in all of Scripture. We sang it into the heavens during worship. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. All things. I love this verse because no matter how you look at it, it means all things. Look it up in the Greek, all things. Look it up in the Old Testament Hebrew. It means all things. Not just the good things, but all things. He takes all things and works them together according to his good purposes. But all things means inconvenient things. All things means upsetting things. All things means confusing things. All things means things that caused you so much pain, things that didn't make sense to you, things that affected not only you, but those around you, things that put distance between you. You see, it doesn't mean that when you follow God, that only good things happen to you. Like, I know I'm speaking to someone right now who needs to hear this because you're sitting in the middle of this pandemic. You're sitting in the middle of your situation and things seem dark and things seem tiring and things seem hopeless and your faith is being affected because of it. You're starting to doubt because you don't know that God is working. You can't see God right next to you. You can't see God inside of you. See, this doesn't mean that all things are good or that only good things happen to us, but we get to serve a God that takes every detail, every struggle, every pain, and turns it around, redeems it, and uses it for His glory and His good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. All things work for the glory of the Lord. See, what the Bible is telling us is that no matter what is going on in our lives, no matter the mistakes, no matter the hurt, no matter what decisions we've made, no matter what betrayals we've had, no, our God is the only God that can take all things, turn them around, and work them into a masterpiece. Whew! Hallelujah! But all things means promotions and demotions. All things means acceptances and refusals. All things means connections and disconnections. All things means yeses and nos. All things means the highs and the lows. All things means blessing and drought. All things means friends and enemies, mountains and valleys. All things means conflicts and reconciliations. All things means breakups and starts. All things work for good to those who love God. Marriage, for better or for worse. See, there's a reason that we as a church are called the Bride of Christ. But go back to Revelation for a second, and we see the new city of Jerusalem prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. The church numerous times throughout the Bible is referred to as the Bride of Christ. But have you ever thought about the commitment that it is to be the Bride of Christ? Think about the vows that you make when you get married. To love and to cherish, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health. See, when you are married to someone, you care so much about that person that you will do anything for them. You want them to be safe and happy, and you want them to be taken care of. You walk through life together, hand in hand, carrying each other's burdens. And when something happens, when you lose your job, or when you lose grip of the finances, or when you reprimand the kids too strongly, or you lose your temper in the middle of a problem, when you lose sight of what's important, you don't hide it. You don't hide it and try and take it out with the rest of the trash under the cover of darkness. No, no, no. You bring it to your partner. You bring it because you say, you know what? I can't handle it anymore. This is too big for me. I can't handle it on my own. And I'm going to bring it to my wife. I'm going to bring it to my husband, to the helper that has been placed in my life. Because when I offer it up to my spouse, when I give them insight, they are able to help, they are able to comfort, and they are able to heal. And so is the way of our covenant with God, where in his unending mercy, when we offer up our lives to Him, when we offer Him the victories, when we offer up to Him the defeats, when we offer up to Him the problems, when we offer up to Him our lives in devotion, He is able to help give us insight. He is able to help give us advice. He is able to help tell us how to fix it, how to overcome it, and most importantly, how to learn from it. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. See, when we simply live our lives with God, and according to His word, God is able to take every detail of our lives and turn them for His glory and good to those who love God. But I want you to catch something. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. It's a two-part verse. So you must love God and be called according to His purpose. It's a very important and. See, some people love God. They love God. Like, their devotional lives are great. Their Bibles are so highlighted that it looks like a kindergartner's coloring sheet, which is amazing and it's critical. But their vocational lives are non-existent. And when God calls them to do something that they're highlighting, they freeze. They can't step out in faith. They're horrified that God won't move, so they don't. They live in their salvation, but don't live in their calling. But God makes all things new. When you love Him, when you partner with Him in the calling that He has for you, you would be amazed at how He will change your situation, how He will change your perspective. And when you love God and walk in your calling, see, you could be stuck in quarantine, scrolling through YouTube and TikTok videos like it's your 9-to-5 job, or focused on watching the news and watching your bank account and portfolio roller coaster with a stock market like it's at Six Flags. We're taking a third nap of the day after finding and testing the 15th new Tasty video while complaining that I gotta get out of here. Woo, I'm gonna lose it. Or maybe you could remember that time that you say, well, God, I would do that, but I just don't have time. Oh, they don't want to hear that. Maybe now is the time when you can give the situation to God and say, God, what do you want me to accomplish in quarantine? God, what do you want me to read? God, what do you want me to study? God, that business that you gave me the idea for way back, now's the time. How do you want me to start it? God, I know I lost my job, but you make all things new. God, what career do you want me to start looking at and preparing for? I know that I've been too busy to express my love for my family and my spouse, but God, how do you want me to treat them? What do you want me to do for them? I know that I've had a problem, God, with my attitude, but God, put in me a new attitude. Help me to act in a more godly way. Ooh, I can feel some new situations rising online. I can feel some new perspectives rising online. Thank you, God, for making everything new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. And behold, the new has come. Now, maybe you're still watching this hallelujah if you are, and you're sitting here and you're like, James, you know what? I still just don't quite get it. I'm gonna break it down for you a little bit further. Thank you, Andy. Bring this over. See, thank you, brother. See, this t-shirt is kind of like us without Christ. I mean, we're good. You can still wear us. Like, we got some stains, we got some scars, we got some tears, some tatters. But you know what? Who does it? It's what makes us unique. It's what makes us who we are. And you know, we still got your back. But you know, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. So when we get our devotional lives right, when we get our vocational lives right and we come to God, He says, you know what? Those stains that you were dealing with before, you know what? I'm going to wash those clean. I'm gonna make something new out of you. I'm going to clean you up, wash you white. And then you know what? God doesn't stop there. Because God says, you know what? I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and He's going to tell you how you should be acting, how you should be changing. He's going to say, you know what, I'm going to add a little bit of faith here. I'm going to add a little bit of strength here. I'm going to add maybe a new perspective here. And you know what? God says, behold, I'm making everything new. I got a masterpiece on my hands. And you know what? It's a masterpiece that spreads its love and its newfound testimony for everyone to see and everyone to hear. It's loud, it's proud, it's powerful. Oh, come on. Amen. Give God, wherever you are, give God the biggest shout of praise. If you know He can take every situation you're in, if He can take every problem that you're dealing with, if every feeling that you're under right now, and He can take it and He can make it new. Woo, amen. Wherever you're watching this from, I don't know what you've been going through before or how it's gotten better or worse in the last few weeks, but I know if you haven't already given your situation to God, If you haven't already partnered with God, if you haven't entered into the calling that God has for your life, it's one of the most powerful situations and powerful moves that you could ever make. Let's not be a culture of Christians waiting for God to make things new. Too many Christians get saved and are waiting for the evacuation. Too many Christians live saved but don't live called. But think about what could happen. Think about what could be accomplished if we said, you know what, God, I'm tired of putting off the life that you have for me. I'm tired of the same old, same old. God, give me something new. Give me something refreshing. Plant in me a new revelation that would prepare me for greater things, that would prepare me for your love that makes all things new. God, I love you, and I want to step into the calling that you have for me here and now. I want to see you restore. I want to see you create something new and amazing in my life. If that is you, then would you pray with me right now? Father God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your nature, God. Father, help us as we come to you. Help us to see this quarantine not as a problem, to see the things that come along with it not as an issue, God, but an opportunity. Father, that you would make all things new, that we could put you at your word and we could make all things new. God, I praise you for what you're doing. God, help us to enter into your love. Help us to enter into your calling, God. If we haven't heard from it yet, haven't heard from you, God, Father, give us a sign, give us a vision, God, of what it is that you're calling to us to, not just in a community standpoint, God, but in a personal standpoint, what you want us to do for you personally, God. Help us to get our devotional lives and vocational lives correct, God. God, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for who you are, Lord. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Now, before we close, before we go, I wanna speak to some people right now. If you've never accepted the love of Jesus, if you've never trusted God, trust me, I understand. I was there. It can feel like a really big step to step out into that. But you know what? It's one of the best steps that you could ever make. It's one of the easiest steps that you could ever make. All you have to do is ask God to come into your life, come into your whole life and take control. And I know that seems tough, but just ask that and you know what? God does the rest. And what you can do is you can text new life, one word, to the number that's on the screen behind me. If you want to talk to somebody, there are people there ready to talk to you, ready to answer questions, ready to affirm your decision, ready to pray with you, and maybe even give you some materials that you've been waiting for. I thank you guys. I love you guys. I can't wait to hear the testimonies that are going to come out of this message, that are going to come out of the next couple of weeks. And I pray that we have and see God move. PB, take it away. Thank you so much.
Thanks, James. Amen. Thanks so much. Love the changes, everything. We're going to sing one final song, but just, and I'm going to, after we do that, I'll come back and dismiss us. But if you've committed your life to Christ today, new life, one word, 860-969-2145. And that way, that'll help us to connect with you. If you want to pray with somebody today, we have Zoom breakout rooms. It's the same number. You're going to go on Zoom, use that same number, 860-969-2145, and that'll take you to a breakout room, and somebody will meet you there, and they'll pray with you personally, confidentially, right there. And so there are great opportunities to be connected to us today, even though we're separated by some distance here. But anyway, let's sing this one final song and then I'll come back and dismiss us for today. Powerful thought as we've moved through this series is that the love of God that raised Jesus from the dead and gave him new life is the same power that gives us new life and can even take our worst scenarios, as James said, and I love that part of the message, take our worst scenarios and turn them around for our good. God is that powerful to take the worst things and make them great things in our hearts and in our lives. Aren't you grateful for that? So today, as we close, again, I just want to encourage you, if you today have invited Christ to come into your life, make sure, one word, new life, to the number there on the screen. You can also use the same number to go on Zoom and connect with somebody and pray with them. It's confidential. They will pray with you and love to do that. Hallelujah. I hope that you'll join us via Zoom on Wednesday night. We're going to do a couple things a little different. I think you'll like those too. And we're going to begin that brand new series on Is the End Near? Out of the book of Zephaniah. Anyway, let's pray and then enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Looking forward to seeing you on Zoom and anywhere else I can see you. Anyway, Father God, thank you for this time that we've had. I pray that this message really sticks in our hearts. And we remember the immensity of your love that even passes our ability to understand. And even some of the crazy situation that we're in right now, God, you're going to use that for our good. We can't even figure out how, but we're grateful that you're going to do it. So we thank you for this time. Thanks for the crew that keeps making this happen week after week. And may you be glorified in our lives this week. Help us to step into our purpose and fulfill it completely because we love you. Thanks, Lord. We trust you. We thank you for your great love. Amen. God bless you guys. See you real soon, somewhere, somehow.